Men and women of war find solace in Mac's program. Of all the terrible things that mankind has inflicted upon one another, there is none so terrible as war. Estimates of the total number of people killed in war in the history of the world range up to 1 billion lives, and for the combatants, oftentimes just surviving the conflict seems like the goal. But of course, too many people come home from combat only to find that they cannot leave it behind. Though she served in the military for 21 years, Tay Pascal can pinpoint the exact period during her service from which her post-traumatic stress stems. Tay Pascal.
During my 21-year career, I had 5 deployments, and one of those deployments was to Kirkuk, Iraq. And at that particular time, we had a lot of mortar attacks, and the mortar attacks would happen daily. I would say out of a week, probably 5 days out of 7. And so at the time, you know, I wasn't really worried about the mortar attacks because I knew that I was trained properly and we had good camaraderie in my unit, in my squadron.
It wasn't until she returned home that she realized what a toll those daily attacks had taken on her.
When I got back from Iraq, I noticed that I lived in Florida at the time, and thunderstorms, if you know anything about Florida, it could be raining on one side of the street and not the other. And I noticed with the thunderstorms, that would trip the car alarms. And so here I am, you know, one afternoon with my son, and we're outside, and a car alarm was triggered by the thunderstorm. And I found myself taking cover. And it really scared me because I didn't know what was going on. I felt as if I was back in Iraq. And I felt as if time kind of stood still.
The 44-year-old Pascal is well-dressed and exudes an air of calm. She's sitting in a courtyard at the Bergen Equestrian Center in Leonia, New Jersey, the riding facility that is home to the Man of War Project. Pascal rests on a stool near an L-shaped barn housing a dozen or so horses. Horses, she says, who gave her life back. In 2013, the Veterans Administration released a study which showed that 22 veterans a day were committing suicide. That means that just over every hour, a veteran takes his or her own life. While vets make up 7% of the population, they account for 22% of its suicides, a suicide rate over 3 times the average for other Americans. At the heart of their struggle, of course, is PTSD, or post-traumatic stress. Especially common in combat veterans, PTSD is a psychiatric disorder that occurs in people who have experienced a traumatic event or a long period in which they felt trauma. It can cause flashbacks, nightmares, anger, fear, estrangement, and a lack of trust. It was that lack of trust that Pascal says was the obvious sign that something was wrong.
What I found was I was all of a sudden on edge. I didn't trust people. I was constantly looking over my back. I went through moments of isolation and then finally moments as the years went on, depression. And it wasn't until 2017, 2018, to where I finally decided, okay, I can't do this on my own. I probably need to see someone.
In a country that makes a public show of praising its veterans at ball games, in airports, and in signs and banners thanking them for their service, it is difficult, if not impossible, to find effective treatment for PTSD. It is especially frustrating to the people on the front lines of the mental health battle that more real assistance for America's veterans is not a priority. Dr. Jeffrey Lieberman, the chairman of the Department of Psychiatry at Columbia University, said, "Sadly, the military, the Department of Defense, the VA, the federal government, has not done enough to understand the basis of psychological injuries of military experience in combat as could have been done." Lieberman manages the largest psychiatric department in the world, with over 700 doctors working under him, and has taken a keen interest in the Man of War Project. Concerned with the military's mental health crisis, he is dedicated to raising awareness and finding alternative treatments for PTSD. "There are a lot of treatments that are being used, but they're not really effective," said Lieberman. "And it's doubly shameful because of the fact that this condition, from the standpoint of how scientifically challenging or difficult it may be to understand, should be solvable." Lieberman stresses that last point. This is not global warming, he said. This is something which should be readily solvable, but it's not, because there hasn't been funding of the best scientific minds to do so. Into this breach, said Lieberman, stepped Earl Mack. Mack, well known to the thoroughbred racing industry as an owner and breeder, is a businessman, philanthropist, and former U.S. ambassador. He is also an Army veteran. Earl Mack said, I have an idea, said Lieberman. I'm not a scientist, but I have an idea, and I think it's worth testing, and I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is. And so he did, Lieberman said. Mack has long been involved with Thoroughbred Retirement, funding projects at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, which pairs prison inmates with racehorses in rehabilitative programs. But he said as he looked at that program and the many others pairing racehorses with troubled teens and veterans with PTSD, he found himself wishing that the results they reported were more than anecdotal. It occurred to him how beneficial it could be if they were, instead, proven. At the time, Mack had a friend, Dr. David Schaefer, who was a professor of child psychiatry at the Columbia University College of Physicians and Surgeons. Schaefer was working on the problem of youth suicide, one of the leading causes of death for young people. Mack convinced him if they could understand and develop the science for treating the PTSD in veterans that so often leads to suicide, that treating young people would be equally understandable. Schaefer was on board. Earl Mack said, "We don't do nearly enough for our vets." He went through the officers' training program, active duty, and 8.5 years in the active reserve. "I saw the suffering our vets go through," Mack said. "I saw the frustration. It always bothered me. I think there's a lack of organization and of funding by the VA, and that discourages people from going there for help. To me, it's unforgivable the way America treats its vets." Mack put $2 million of his own foundation's money up, raised another $1 million from the outside, including a $200,000 donation from the Jockey Club, and started the project, which uses former thoroughbred racehorses in trust-building exercises with the veterans. Said Lieberman, Earl was not the first one to come up with a theory that horses could help people with PTSD. Other people had been working on it. But what he said to me was that nobody had ever done the science. Nobody has ever done the studies. Nobody has ever done what it would take to make this something that is not just anecdotal. Oh, I hear this is good for horses. I hear that so-and-so farm has done some good things. But to put an official stamp on it from some of the smartest people in the world to say that this is, in fact, effective and a good treatment for not only just soldiers, but anybody suffering from PTSD? Well, that's the key, said Lieberman. Ann Paulson is a soft-spoken, thoughtful attorney who is the former president of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association and chair of the Virginia Racing Commission. She grew up riding and now serves as the president of the Man of War Project. Ann Paulson.
As many people know, Ambassador Mack is also highly involved in thoroughbred aftercare. And he had witnessed, as many of us have, these wonderful programs that are out there where you have horses and veterans getting together, and there's a wonderful feel-good moments, and there is some sort of a change, but there's no way to sort of quantify that change or qualify, or no science behind it. The idea was, let's find out what the science is. Let's do a scientifically rigorous study of horses and veterans and find out, let's get a methodology behind this, a protocol that can work and why it works. Columbia didn't have any experience with horses. They did, however, have an extensive military psychiatric department. They have one of the world's best PTSD units there, and so they were very interested in it. They also have a quite remarkable suicide department, so they could meld all of that intelligence together.
First, she and the study's co-leaders, Dr. Yuval Nyria and Dr. Prudence Fisher, spent a year and a half traveling the country, looking at different programs and learning about equine-assisted therapy. By 2016, they had developed an 8-week protocol with pilot groups produced a 100-page manual as a guide, and started a rigorous screening process for applicants.
The program itself really is all about putting science behind these anecdotal programs. We know that it works, but there needs to be some uniformity, some methodology, and I think in order for these programs to become mainstream, which is really the goal, is that there needs to be a way to teach it. If everybody's doing something differently, even though it looks like it's working, we can't really quantify the results.
2 years later, they are on the cusp of doing just that. In July, the last group of participants will complete the program. The veterans are given MRIs before they start the program and again at the end to record changes in the brain. Those results will be consolidated along with the detailed clinical data, and the formal study will be published. But already the anecdotal results are clear. The results look very encouraging, said Lieberman, meaning that there does seem to be very significant clinical improvement in terms of a reduction in symptom severity for veterans undergoing treatment. What's more, Lieberman said, the reasons why make sense. When you deal with people, said Lieberman, you're always trying to sort of feel out, how are they? What do they think of me? What am I saying? Are they good? Are they bad? What do they want? What do I want? Horses produce a safe relational engagement, more so than any pet or even any person. And that produces a kind of transient relaxation in the hypervigilance and the noxious emotionality associated with the traumatic experience that the individual underwent. And with the kind of repeated administration on this, it allows for the dissipation of the noxious, intensive emotional component to the memories of traumatic experience that has been undergone. And the perfect horses for the program, said Paulson, are not just any horses, but retired thoroughbred racehorses, due to their intelligence and the traits they share with veterans. They had a short, intense career and need a job when that career is over.
Horses are unique in that they're very much like the veterans themselves. They are hypervigilant, they're creatures of prey. In the cases of racehorses in particular, they have a mission in life. They enjoy a job. They like a purpose. And as we all know, veterans, when they're deployed in active service, they have a mission, they have a purpose, they have a goal. And daily, that is the way that they live their lives. And they come home, and all of a sudden that mission is gone, but the mission mentality is still there. So they too are looking for what their next step is, what their next goal is, what is my next job. The horse is like a big mirror, you know, of themselves. And they, you know, if you come in with a horse, if you walk into a stall and you've had a bad day, and you know, the horse is going to catch that vibe, and they're not going to want to do that day. They're going to say, come back tomorrow. The good news is they're not judgmental, and the next day they'll go about their job if you come back with the right attitude. And they learn from that. I think that interaction, the whole building of trust, is the key to the program. I think the other thing that's very helpful to the veterans themselves is, in this program, they're not asked to relive their trauma. They come out here, and if they want to talk about something, they certainly can. But it's more about the experience. They come out here, they exhale, you know, in this beautiful environment. And then they get to do something very hands-on. They get to build this relationship. And that relationship does, they are able to take that and transfer it to their human relationships. So it makes them function again, because they can transfer it to family, they can transfer it to work, they can transfer it to their everyday lives. So it's quite a remarkable thing to see.
Pascal agreed and said that many veterans are emotionally unable to participate in traditional group therapy, both because they don't want to relive the trauma and because of the stigma of having a mental health issue.
Oh my gosh, you didn't talk about it at all. You didn't talk about it because in the military, there's a stigma that if you talk about mental health in a negative light, education's one thing, but when it's you that actually, you know, is the person dealing with a mental illness, that stigma is okay, well, what's wrong? You can't do your job, so let's set you over here, or let's put you in this category, and we'll move everybody else along. And so no one wanted to be labeled as that person, and that included me. As a mother, as someone that was viewed as highly respected in my, you know, field in the military, I felt as if I always had to be Superwoman. I always felt as if I had to keep it together to carry on with the mission, both personal and professional. So I absolutely didn't talk about it. You know, it was, okay, let me put my head down and barrel through and deal with it the best way that I could. And I did that for years. Oh my gosh, so many years. And then finally I got to a breaking point to where my body was like, enough's enough.
The program changed her whole life, said Pascal, who bonded with one particular thoroughbred.
We kind of needed each other. And in the end, I believe that's exactly what it was. He needed something from me and I needed something from him. And what I needed from him was the ability to let go and surrender so I can start to build. And that's what the Man O' War Project did for me. It was all about building relationships. I mean, my life is so much better now because of the Man O' War Project. I mean, I'm able to walk through life and not worry about who's behind me. Walk through life and, you know, just live fully. And that's something that I'm forever grateful for.
In the end, it will be Mac's insistence upon documenting the science of the project that was the card to play. When the study is published, most likely later this year, the program can be replicated across the country. It will also make the project eligible for grants from a number of organizations, including potentially the Department of Defense, the Department of Veterans Affairs, and the National Institutes of Health. The model, which is tested, can be distributed, said Lieberman, made available to other facilities that want to provide treatment, to veterans organizations that simply want to find a way to have the treatment enacted in conjunction with their mental health care facility, or to equine-assisted therapy programs seeking a proven, effective protocol. Earl didn't discover the idea, said Lieberman, but he had the good sense to go to a place where there was expertise that knew how to vet the idea. And what happens all too often is, you have people who believe in something, either because of their own personal experience, or because they have some kind of ideological or advocacy motivation, and they say it works. I know it works, said Lieberman, but taking it at face value, that's not the way medicine and science works. You've got to prove it. And Earl was willing to submit this hypothesis to rigorous testing in the form of a clinical trial, and that makes all the difference. At the end of the day, said Lieberman, we weren't meeting our obligation as a country, and Mac decided to fill the void. The point is, he said, that this is a very simple, intuitive therapeutic process that the government hasn't seen fit to deal with sufficiently, and civic-minded people are stepping in. Mac's life has been one of service to his country, of philanthropy, of giving back. But if he's right about this, and it appears he will be proven so, easing the suffering of PTSD in vets and others won't just be the achievement of his lifetime. Many would consider it one of the greatest achievements ever. Think of the number of racehorses we can save, he says. Think of the number of lives. For the TDN Look podcast, this is Sue Finley.